You are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeter. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter. It's time to look in the mirror, America. Do you like what you see?
I keep referring to Obama as the magic Negro.
Do you like what you see now?
Well, suck on this.
It's just a mirror, America.
Shared sacrifice by everybody.
What could it do to you except reflect your image?
I did nothing wrong at the Minneapolis airport.
The Majority Report.
Far more credible to me than PBS and Frontline.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeter.
And I get the feeling you've been cheated.
It is Tuesday, October 13th, 2015. My name is Matt Binder.
I'm Michael Brooks.
And this is the four-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting to you live, steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal.
In the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On today's program,
I leave.
Bye, Matt. With a finality, that music ending like that.
It was
can
perfect.
Only foretell.
It was perfect.
Matt is gone. He's taking his Monster Energy drink collection.
I've already given up on the soundboard. I'm done with that. I'm not sitting over there anymore.
He came in today and it was like Michael Corleone in The Godfather. He was just like, over!
I'm done. Over. I'm through. No more.
That's more like the Don, bro. I'm surrounded by people who have not watched this movie. It's kind of disgusting. On today's program, we're going to basically kind of take a trip down memory lane, talk about Matt's time here, which far predates me. You were here well before me.
And we'll be talking in terms of politics, so this isn't going to be personal and you're not going to have any interest in it. You will go through certain things that happened while I was here in the political sphere.
No, it's going to be very personal. I'm going to talk about the first time I brought Matt to a wine bar.
Yes.
First time that saw Matt
the first
go on his first date.
You missed that by many years. But
all right. Yeah. I think we can be more honest with our audience. Yes.
You were here for my first child.
I was here for your first. Whoa, you already planning a second one, dude?
Well, put me on the spot here. Not right now.
You are out of your mind, man. Wow. I have to say, man, because I'm a couple years older than you, and you really...
Well, Sam's got...
Like, far from married... No kids on the horizon. Like, you really have adulted up pretty quick.
Well, Sam's got it down perfect. He's got the one girl and the one boy, and I think that's the perfect scenario. They are split up pretty well.
I think the perfect scenario is like, hey, Saul, hey, Mila, hey, Ezra, Uncle Michael's here. Yeah, awesome.
I got 3 dates tonight with 3 different women. See you later, guys.
Don't you like me better than your parents? All right, I'm going to go to the West Indian Day Parade. Bye.
Oh, man.
But we want to take your calls and take your IMs. And we will talk about, how we started doing these shows together and everything else. And
if you're watching on YouTube, you might notice that we're doing it a little different today. Both Michael and I are sitting behind camera at the same time. If you've watched maybe like the 1 or 2 Majority Report X additional YouTube content we've done, that's the only time you've ever seen this shot.
Yeah,
the two of us sitting together, we do exist in the same room.
We exist. We're not the same person. We have an artificial intelligence, an AI that we've been able to develop that's handling the board. Besides the really sharp cut, has done a great job.
Yeah,
yeah.
We'll get that little sharp cut down.
No,
some
absolutely.
Tinkering here and there.
You
change
know
the code.
Change the code. So I think before we get to it, I want to. Like we met each other, it was like 3 years ago. I came into the show.
It was the summer of 2012.
Okay, so it's like a little over 3 years ago. And how long had you been at the show?
I started, my first day here was March 31st, 2011.
Wow.
And I came in, we were in Midtown at the time.
Oh my, guys.
The small closet that we basically turned into a, well, that
Sam, office was a
Dorsey
dump.
And Evan had turned into a studio.
Right.
It literally was a closet. Like you could fit your clothes in there, and that was it pretty much.
Yes.
Like it was extremely small. It was extremely with all this, after all the stuff was in there, extremely dirty because it didn't have anywhere to move anything to clean any of the open space.
And when we moved out, like, there was definitely like all sorts of like dust and allergies. And then we were in a floor.
We found Joe Lieberman's son in there.
He was just laying there.
He's like, hey guys, do you want a bomb Iran?
It just so happened that like the people that we shared this floor with were crazy. So
insane.
there was this one drunk gentleman, and I mean like literally, because
I'd like to preface
office,
this though. I'd like to preface
yeah,
this.
Yeah, go ahead.
He was a nice guy.
Very nice
to
guy.
To us at least. He liked us.
Yes.
He was a good guy in terms of, you know, being very friendly. To us.
To us.
To us. I must stress, to us.
And maybe a little overbearing. And he had, like, and when we say drunk, like, he definitely, like, left. Our closet was next to the bathroom, and he had, like, bottles under the sink. And he hated Bill de Blasio, which I never totally understood why.
He seemed like a pretty progressive guy otherwise.
No, he was kind of, he was you know, well-dressed. And actually, like, when he was not drunk, very smart, like, gay gentleman who knew a lot about politics and was always interested in talking about. But he hated de Blasio.
He's gay. And
wow, Matt. I don't know whether you're just so open-minded or you just have the worst gaydar, like, in
I'm very open-minded.
The planet. And both. He showed me a picture of his husband once.
Oh, he never showed me that. Now
which was
hurt.
Great. I was happy to see that because it sometimes.
Oh,
like,
but before
yeah.
we go any further,
yeah, yeah.
I got to cut you off. You
yeah,
have to get
ahead.
The ad in right now.
Okay, absolutely. Thank you for reminding me of this.
See, even as I'm leaving, I worry about the financial future of this show.
I know. And as well you should. Everybody knows that shopping is awful. I'm assuming you hate shopping, Matt.
I hate it.
Has becoming a father made you a little bit better about it?
No. I
really?
Get my entire wardrobe from whatever show I'm at that day. Like, if I'm at a show some week, that's where I'll get a new shirt.
So what are you going to do now that you don't go to shows anymore because you have a baby?
We go to less, but we've still managed to figure it out.
Wow, dude. It's incredible. So shopping is awful. Everybody hates shopping, and no one has the patience for crowded stores and to try on 10 pairs of pants. And, you know, even me, for all the, like, you know, making fun of me being like a Metro guy or whatever, I don't like to shop. What I always try to do is I try to basically hustle whatever girl I'm dating to go shopping with me. And at first they like that once or twice, but then they get sick of it. And they're like, dude, figure it out. All right. And we all know that you still need to look great, even though you hate shopping. And with Trunk Club, you never have to set foot in a mall again. That is amazing. The only person that upsets, I would imagine, would be my grandmother in Long Island. She loves malls. But for everybody else, Trunk Club is a revelation. Trunk Club takes the hassle out of shopping by shipping you a trunk of clothes that fit perfectly and make you look like $1 million. With all of the new fall styles. Fall is the best time, I've learned. Fall is apparently the most fun time to dress, according to people who know more about this than I do.
I agree. It is.
I don't think you're one of those people that knows more about this than I do, but that's amazing. Even you know it.
It is. It's fun because you get to, you know, during the summer, you just got to wear shorts or short sleeves or whatever. You know, during the winter, you got to bundle up, throw on that big jacket that's usually not very fun to wear. But during the fall, man, you get to throw on a nice cool sweater over the nice cool
maybe
shirt.
Maybe a Clash
so people
t-shirt
can see both.
With the hoodie.
You get to break out. You get to break out your new tight pants.
That is the way in which you are much more trendy than me. You are all over that tight pants nonsense. You're very committed. I think fitted versus tight. But anyways, at Trunk Club takes the hassle completely out of shopping, and it is time for those great new fall styles. And the great thing about Trunk Club is it doesn't matter. If you dress like me, if you dress more like Matt, there's a range of ways. Like, they got you covered. These people actually really think a lot about fashion.
Literally, they have you covered in clothes.
I'm totally going to let you pass on that because this is your last day. At TrunkClub.com/majority, you answer simple questions about your style, preferences, size, and you are assigned an expert stylist. You and I should do a contest one time where you and I both do the questionnaire side by side and see what stylist we're
assigned.
That's
a great idea on my last day.
Yeah, we should do – well, we can do it in the future for our own enjoyment. They curate clothes from the best premium brands, and you approve of what you like. So it's brought to you. You decide what you like. No one's forcing you to do anything. And just like that, a trunk arrives at your doorstep filled with handpicked clothes that are perfect for you. Try them on, keep what you like, and easily return what you don't like in that prepaid packet, prepaid trunk. This is not a subscription service. You only pay for the clothes you keep from the trunk. No hidden charges, just great clothes. And right now, their entire styling service is free.
Ooh.
Even the shipping, you only pay for the clothes you keep. To take advantage of this, go to trunkclub.com/majority. That's trunkclub.com/majority. One last time, that's trunkclub.com/majority for a trunk filled with clothes that you'll love wearing. All right.
You know what else you'll love while we're promoting things?
Yes, sir.
I am leaving this show to go to a new website that just launched today. It's called cafe.com, and you can go there now and read some of the stuff that was published today. It's launch day. Also follow it on at cafe and then spelt out .com.
I would maybe
like it on Facebook, facebook.com/cafe.
Absolutely.
It's very funny. I think so, at least.
You would.
I would.
Yeah. No, I actually saw Matt showed me the first video that he was putting together, the first mashup a couple days ago, and it was good. It was really funny. I'm looking forward to see. Obviously, I'm looking forward to see what you do.
I think.
But before we get all saccharine, we were talking about the guy who hated de Blasio in our office, and what would happen was he would like roam around the hallway, literally like, you know, pretty drunk. If he was in a bad mood, and he would, and if he found any of us because he knew we did politics, he would be like, "Did you see? I thought that de Blasio's ad was just in the worst taste possible."
He honestly, not even joking. He honestly sounded like he lived as a Shakespearean actor.
He absolutely did. It was like I just got done doing Othello in the Park, and I thought Bill de Blasio. And you would literally have to, like, I remember sometimes with Sam or with Matt timing it, like, all right, I think he's at the elevator, so what we're gonna do
is wait for him to get in, and then we're gonna quickly run across before he sees us, because he would come out of the elevator if he saw us to talk to us.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
he would rush out to be like, I thought what they did with Dante de Blasio was just,
oh, he did not like
just,
not only did he not like de Blasio, he for some reason did not like the entire de Blasio family.
And what I did was, but what I use it to my advantage, because remember how Dave Chappelle used to have this stand-up bit where he talked about how he only wanted to talk like a 40s movie character all day? So, like, the cops would pull him over, and they'd be like, you know why we pulled you over? And he'd be like, because I'm black, say. Like, that was, like, the whole, like, thing he wanted to do all day. So I started doing that with that guy. Like, in every situation, I went, like, if my girlfriend at the time wanted to talk, I'd be like, well, I just thought what de Blasio did was just horrible. It was great. It was a good, pushed everything away from you when you talked like that for a day.
Oh, and then we had a great door guy. Adolfo.
Adolfo was the man.
He was a good guy.
I
always said
that
hello,
dude.
Always very helpful when there was noise
great.
In the office. Which it seemed like whenever it was like a laid back type show, you know, maybe no guests or, you know, back a little bit of background noise, no big deal. It would be as quiet as can be. But then we had like a big guest or someone like, you know, you want to make sure the sound quality
right.
is best. Like we had Glenn Greenwald on right after the NSA story broke, and there's like drilling literally right out of our door. It was absolutely unbelievable in that place.
And it was a great.
But he was pretty helpful.
He was really helpful. And it was a great ego check, though, too, because you would be kind of you get like in the rush of doing the show. And then you go out to ask some guy who's like, you know, making a new door for the bathroom or whatever. And you'd be like, guys, did you get the like note about, you know, from 12 to 1:30? And they'd be like, yeah,
we just
can't do a little drilling. All right.
I mean, honestly, I could see if I was like the guy in charge of it.
Yeah.
But if I was one of the workers, I'd be like, yo, is there more radio stations on this floor recording at different times?
Yeah,
give
absolutely.
Me as many breaks as possible.
I know. It
was, yeah.
It was a good look. But I remember I came in at like, because I literally did not even move into my apartment yet because I was in New York. I went back to Massachusetts for a couple months, and I was either going to come work for the Majority Report or go to graduate school, and I decided to go to the Majority Report. And I walked in at 9 a.m.
Terrible mistake.
9 a.m. Yeah, it's a disaster. I don't know, dude. Those loans. But that's a whole other conversation. And I came in, and I think there was like a couple of weeks where Matt and I were sort of like, what? Like, I was like, who is this kid? And Matt was why is this guy?
When Michael first came in,
right?
Like, of course.
And notice, just notice before you say this that I did that subtly.
Yeah.
Now go ahead and throw me under the bus.
Obviously, so I'm here since March 2011. Dorsey was there the first day I was there, and he showed me the ropes or whatever. So I'm working there for months with Evan, and then Evan leaves the show right around when we started doing the Occupy coverage, which is when I think the show started to really take off.
Yeah. Definitely.
And then, so Evan left around then, and then Sam brought in Hillary, who was really good. She was probably the best person we've had at doing like the administrative stuff, getting like the actual logistics of the show done.
I don't know. But pretty good at administration.
But unfortunately, she didn't want to talk on the show. And Sam really wanted it as the producers started to talk more on the show, because, you know, first me and Evan started talking more on the show, and then me and Sam had banter back and forth. And then Sam realized, you know, I really want a third person to talk too. And then Hillary also left at the time. So Sam was really like, okay, now that I have to find someone, I'm going to find someone who can talk. And so Michael came in, and obviously
if nothing else, I can talk.
Michael can talk. That is true. So Michael came in, and when you're at a job interview, obviously you're not going to like show like your true like laid back, cool workplace type, like fun personality. You're going to be like, you know, I could get business done. I'm a smart guy. This is what I do. But Michael has that like foreign policy background. And in this like in this world, like when he came in, my first like notion of him was like, oh my God, we have like one of these serious like Al Jazeera, all news, serious all the time, no fun, no bullshitting. Like he's going to be like straight up, like I'm going to make a joke, and he's going to be like, why don't you care about what's happening in Syria?
I think the situation in Pakistan is dire.
Yeah. So, but really,
I don't know why.
I thought Michael was going to be one of those types. He looked the part. Look at him. He looks the part too. Oh, Come on.
I mean, sort of now, but to be fair to you, I think I came in the, like that day specifically. Like I had on like a Banana Republic shirt, sweat, like it was much more.
And I heard,
to be fair to you,
and the time I heard his connection to Sam and finding out in that meeting was that Michael had contributed to the David Pakman show.
Shots fired.
And David Pakman's a friend of mine.
Yes.
And his show is a very like straightforward, serious news program.
Right.
Like without a doubt, like it's on like
those type of radio stations, more serious type of
TV networks,
right?
So it's so I thought him coming from there, he was gonna have like a very straightforward delivery,
right? No, you're right. Like I studied in Turkey, I went to Bates, Talking Points Memo, all that stuff.
Michael might remember this better than I do.
Yes.
What was like the moment where like I realized like you were like a laid back, like whoa, this guy's like actually funny.
I think, to be honest, it's probably a bit that maybe we can't do on the air.
Is it?
There's a lot of stuff, to be honest, I remember,
and we can do it on the air because we've told him about this. I think the first time ever was we were talking about the Young Turk strategy and like I don't know if Secular Talk was around then, but maybe they were. All the different members of the Young Turk network at the time, we were talking about the different strategies they were doing on YouTube because our YouTube channel was growing. And Michael, knowing David Pakman, had the David Pakman experience.
Right.
So he was talking about that, and somehow we brought up Lewis, which is like David Pakman's like sidekick, right?
I guess so. I mean, Lewis is a nice dude, and I guess I could do an impression.
But he has
of him.
A very specific impression of voice, and Michael, just out of the blue, I think, was like, just did it. And at that moment, I was like, what the hell? Where did this come from? And it was, if you watch the David Pakman show, you would find it hilarious. And I think you could do the bit. I think David Pakman knows about the bit you've done.
Well, I think the setup was that
it's
it was
totally
just
not making
of
fun of David Pakman or Lewis.
No, but it's because of all that whole like atheism stuff and all that, and the Gamergate nonsense. There was this like false perception that there's like some type of issue there, which there is not. But I think the bit was like, because like it was like the David doing a story that's very like.
No, I remember.
You know
that.
What it is, David?
It was just talking about how, like, when Sam does his 15-minute-long screeds on Social Security, why isn't that doing gangbusters on YouTube?
Right. It actually started with making fun of Sam.
That's how it happened.
For being
yes.
like, Sam's like, I don't understand. I just did this thing on the Medicare trust fund buyout.
Why are we getting,
it was
like,
17 minutes. It's at 1,000. That's respectable. But I have no idea why this isn't just burning up the web.
Why is David Pakman's story about this porn star showing up naked Bankita at the Swedish Parliament.
Yeah.
Why is that doing better than this Social Security Trust Fund report?
Yeah, and of course, we're there. We're like, yeah, God knows, Sam. Like, one of life's mysteries and enigmas.
So literally, that was the joke. Like, the bit was David Pakman would do these really YouTube-friendly stories, which he's really good at doing.
And he would present them, though, and what makes David good and funny is he presents them as very straight.
Like,
so he's
PBS-esque.
Like, so he's sort of like, so Lewis, a woman went to the Scandinavian Parliament and brought out a bag of sex toys. Kind of strange, huh? And then Lewis, yeah, it's pretty weird. So like that was the bit, and then it just
David Pakman, if he's watching, or David Pakman fans.
Yes.
This comes straight out of jealousy. We're extremely jealous that David Pakman's able to put those stories up and get 500,000 views on that video.
Well, obviously, if it was up to us, the context of the conversation was like, we should do more videos like that.
Yeah, and Sam was like, no, we got to work on doing this Medicaid report.
Yeah. Guys, I did this 22-minute segment on the North Dakota Savings and Loans Bank and how they've shored up Medicaid for that state using a strategy they borrowed from Norway. That's at 750 views. We're doing something wrong.
Now, to be fair, yes, those are probably very more important stories.
That should be at 40,000 at least.
And this is mainly a podcast, and via audio it probably works a lot better.
Absolutely.
But it's not a YouTube made video. Like, that's not what the YouTube audience isn't going on there and going, oh, cool, Taylor Swift parody video. Let's see what's going on with the HSBC, too.
No, but like, I think, though, what we've actually gotten a lot better at in the last couple of years is that I think we've found more of that sweet spot where we're not going to be, like, we have a show that does specific things and we're really proud of it and, you know, like, all kidding aside. And then I think we've been able to make it more kind of, like, seamless. Like, the entertainment along with everything else has kind of been come together more. And I think, but that was funny. And then everything just descended from there. And then a couple months later, or 6 months later, whatever, it was Right Wing Mandela. And I think when I did Right Wing Mandela, that was when Matt looked and I looked at each other and we're just like, wow.
We have gold here.
Yeah,
we've struck gold.
Shared tastelessness.
Or as Libertarian Gandhi would say about gold.
The only currency that you can trust. Okay.
I think we've given freebie members.
Yeah, we've given
freebie listeners enough of a taste of what the better half is usually sort of like.
Yeah.
Regularly.
I mean, we usually do stories, but this is a little bit more, more banter.
So let's take a break. We still have another
10 minutes.
Why don't
we read a couple IMs?
Well, I thought we'd give a debate preview, talk a little bit about the debate tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Good idea.
And then we'll go right back into this back and forth conversation.
Perfect.
In the fun half for members.
All right. Sounds good. So let's talk debate.
So tonight, Sam Seder is in Vegas, ladies and gentlemen. He's there.
Yep.
In Vegas right now as we speak. And he officially has press credentials for tonight's Democratic debate. Excuse me.
Democrat. I like how you went the Republican route there.
Yes. Like, Democrat.
Democrat Party debate.
So, yes, I've been listening to a lot of Republicans lately, and I think I'm leaning.
Are you
right
about
now.
To? You about to make your transition, man? It's a good career.
Cafe.com is actually a side project by the fine folks at Breitbart. but anyway. So Sam's there. He will be in there. We are not sure where he is. I'm assuming it's going to look like this. Hillary in the middle, Bernie on one side, Martin O'Malley on the other, and then like a press area with like Sam and like Lincoln Chafee and like Jim Webb sort of like floating like, we're supposed to be up there.
All right. Lincoln Chafee actually probably literally will be next to Sam.
Probably.
Wherever Sam is, they will be next to each other.
In fact, Sam might be able to just like literally like butt Lincoln Chafee out of the podium and just take over.
I could see that. Probably wouldn't be the first time that Sam has bullied some like blue blood from New England.
So CNN's been basically promoting tonight's debate like it's fight night. Have you seen those commercials?
I have seen those commercials. It's pretty great.
It's like Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, and it's like Jim Webb, Martin O'Malley, Lincoln Chafee. Tonight's the night. Tune in at CNN.
The thing that I think of when I see those ads is first, of course, I think of badass Bernie because I feel like that's a very fitting ad for him being like, oh, okay, Hillary, just I will hit a woman, okay? Just to be clear. Just to be clear. And then the thing I got to say about Jim Webb is like, and he's a, you know, I don't know what to make of Jim Webb, but like the Republicans who talk all this macho nonsense constantly, Jim Webb probably literally, like he is, I'm sure, literally killed people. Probably. Like Jim Webb is an intense dude. And I think actually that's like the only thing that, like, I think Bernie will do great.
Oh, Bernie's going to kill
I think Bernie's, you know, I think he's Bernie and he's going to do great. I think Hillary Clinton, she's a good debater. They'll try to catch her in.
I wonder if there will actually be a back and forth with Hillary and Bernie, or if CNN will just try to push for it.
Oh, of course. Because
I don't picture them. I mean, they haven't really gone at each other at all.
No. Let me say the.
I mean, Hillary for a different reason than Bernie, I'm sure.
Totally.
But yeah, they haven't really addressed each other. I mean, I think the most Bernie has said is, me and Hillary are extremely on different ends of insert issue here. And that's the most he's probably said about Hillary. And Hillary hasn't said much about or anything about Bernie. Obviously, she doesn't want to draw any attention.
I think Ray also said about sending the Clintons to a re-education camp. That was a little weird.
put AI, Matt. Artificial, robotic Matt over there. Put up Sam's computer, the one labeled Sam's computer. Ooh. So the CNN thing's like this. This isn't the actual ad. This is just random dramatic music.
This sounds cooler than the ad. This sounds really cool.
It's like Hillary Clinton,
Bernie Sanders, some other people you've never heard of.
You could care less about.
A tired and exhausted careerist and a grouchy, over 70-plus Jew argue.
Pre-prepare for a night you will never forget. The only thing we wish was there was Donald Trump.
Right. Donald Trump is going to tweet the debate.
Wow, this is like really.
Donald Trump actually said, he was great. He goes, he wrote, even though I think it will be incredibly boring because of all the requests I've gotten, I'm going to tweet the debate. But I think if I had to make one, just, you know, one prediction about it, I think Bernie will do great. I think Hillary knows how to debate. That'll be fine. I think if there's a breakout, I think Jim Webb will be the person that people are like, oh, that guy's interesting. He knows how to debate.
He could really pull through, but the thing is, he hasn't been campaigning really.
Well, I'm not saying it's going to go anywhere, but I think that at a certain point, like, there's just a desire on the part of the press to write about something new, to make up another story. And if Joe Biden's not going to jump in, which is now seems like it's really clear he's not. I don't know.
So I read something where it was like,
Just going to show up.
If he literally didn't even, he stayed out of this debate, but he literally announced right before it, he would take away all the attention from the debate.
Joe, here's what you do. It's a hoodwink.
Don't forget, this is also Deval Patrick.
The white media. What you do is you don't debate. Fuck that. Beneath you.
Can I do a Biden? I don't think so. Biden's hard. Oh, I can't do many, but can you do
I can't do Biden. I don't know how to. Biden is. The problem with impersonating someone like Biden is that he gives you so much obvious, easy things that you could fall into. You end up just
like
saying
Obama
like,
doesn't?
Yeah, but it's a little more subtle. I don't know how to. Let me be clear. We were joking the other day in the office that the reason that Obama stammers and is that he doesn't actually speak English. He only speaks phonetically. He really only speaks Arabic. when he announces the caliphate, he's going to jump out and he's going to be like, "Allahu Akbar, Allah." And the reason he's only speaking phonetically.
He's like Andre the Giant and the Princess Bride.
Yeah, yeah.
You know that story, right? Because Andre the Giant only spoke French. He knew no English.
Exactly.
So they literally had to teach him all of his lines in the Princess Diary. They taught him phonetically.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
That's hilarious. But if anything, and also I think
Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders here. Let me just tell you right now. You do a better Bernie. Go ahead.
Dude.
Do it. That was bad. Go ahead.
Matt, revolutionary movement is people recognizing their strengths.
Give me like a Joe. Joe, if you so dare, is take away from my big night.
Joe, you can get into the race. You can talk. You're a cute, adorable
old man. But let me be clear.
Whoa, to quote
your boss, and I do emphasize your boss, if anybody steps on my Social Security diatribes, have you seen Narcos on Netflix? Did you see the way Pablo Escobar handled people? Now, I don't respect Pablo Escobar's commitment to capitalism, but I do respect some of his methods from a guerrilla warfare point of view.
Perspective, yes.
And if I need to, I will go ISIS and Pablo at you at the same time if you interfere with my explaining that the Medicare Trust Fund is solvent for another 20 years. Am I clear? All right. Now, no eye contact. I like you, Joe. You're a nice guy.
Oh, man.
You're a charming guy. You're a fun guy. Be ashamed if something happened to you.
Ah, badass, Barney. I love it.
That's fun, man. It's fun. Obviously, if we were just scripting all of this, it would be Bernie and Donald Trump. That would be the ultimate.
Yes, that's. I told you the other day. I was like, in my ideal scenario, my perfect world, the general election is between Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders.
Oh, definitely.
It'd be so great.
What would also be great about that, too, is that I think what would happen is that you would get then someone like a Bloomberg type would run because the kind of like plutocrat establishment would be so freaked out by the choices.
And literally anyone not in the Northeast and the West Coast will be like so baffled as to which New Yorker to vote for.
Which obnoxious New Yorker.
My choice is three New Yorkers.
No, but it's just going to be great that they're gonna like have to deal with.
My lord, which New Yorker do I vote for? Them Yankees?
Is that Lindsey Graham's voting decision?
That is Lindsey Graham. Yeah.
That doesn't matter because Al-Qaeda's going to kill us all.
If Donald Trump actually won the nomination, I think that would be the one way so many of these Republicans who would never not vote Republican would not vote Republican.
Probably.
I could totally picture Lindsey Graham voting for Bernie Sanders over Donald Trump in some weird.
No, he would write and he'd be like,
I'm writing myself.
Oh, what a sad little guy. All right, everybody. We're going to go to the fun half. AI, are you ready to take us to the fun half?
All right, the
IMs are on. We're going to open up the phone line, 646-257-3920.
AI, bring that the slider up just a little, the iPod slider, and hit that La Poupée up on the soundboard.
Become a member of the Majority Report today. That's how you sustain and grow
Perfect
this show.
AI.
Great AI. AI, is there anything that you could tell us to prove you're alive? I'm trying to do a little Turing test on him.
We haven't taught him that yet.
Become a member today. Give us a review on iTunes. Subscribe to and write a review of Sportsocracy. Great new sports podcast we're putting out, hosted by Brian Rich, part of the Next Steps in the Majority Empire. Subscribe to us on YouTube. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. That's Majority Report on Facebook, at Majority FM on Twitter, Sam Steeder on YouTube, 646-257-3920. See you on the flip side.
Support this show. Continue to support this show. And check out cafe.com.
More so, support this show.
Yeah, more so.
Yeah.
Support this show. But also,
if you had to do one thing, and it was Majority Report or this other site that I still haven't really heard of, support the Majority
Follow
Report.
Me on Twitter, guys, at Matt Binder. This won't be the last you've heard of me.
Definitely follow Matt Binder.
And you'll definitely hear me on this show again.
And it's not the last you've heard of us specifically.
Yes.
I'm sure there's more Eminem in the future.
There will be, hopefully.
No doubt.
Or maybe this is forever. You'll just have to continue to tune in to find out.
Sure.
All right, AI, you could bring up La Poupée all the way. Goodbye, freebies. so glad to be rid of those dumbass freebie listeners. Oh, wait, are we live now? The AI went up?